for joining us. From the Pulpit is a radio broadcast ministry produced at White Oak Independent Baptist Church of Warrior, Alabama. Today, Pastor McAfee will be preaching on how God deals with the heathen.
All right, John chapter 1 and verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture. But I want to talk about a subject tonight that kind of piggyback off of the missions conference. And I got asked by two different individuals the same question. And during the missionary presentations, a couple of them are going to countries and going to places where there has not been a missionary outreach, or if there has, there's been very little. And they made the statement, how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's a Bible question that we find in the book of Romans chapter number 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And so that's a truth that we have, that we send missionaries, and that's the verse that we use to do that. We send them out to preach the gospel. And the question that was asked was, what about those people that there has never been a missionary go to those people? What about the groups of people down through the years that have died and a missionary never reached their people, or a Bible never made it to them? Has anybody ever thought about that before? All right, there's a couple people. All right, man. All right. Most people that think about missions, and especially after you go through a missions conference, because some of the missionaries are like, hey, send me, because they've never heard before. And so the question is a legitimate question. What about those people that have never had a gospel witness? And the Bible answers that for us. And it answers it for the time that we're living in today. And so I want to look at that for a few minutes. What happens to that heathen? What happens to that Indian? Or what happens to that tribe, the Muslims or Hindus or whatever they're born into, that have never heard about Jesus Christ? And that's a legitimate question. And coming out of missions conference, it's one that I got asked two different times. And so I'm thankful the Lord laid this on my heart to kind of go over and study today to look at it. But there's a lot of people that have been born into this world, and they've died without one missionary ever talking to them. They didn't have a Bible in their language. I mean, people have born and they died, and they never had a missionary come see them. There's still people groups today that missionaries have not reached. Now, that has dwindled down some, because there are groups that go after them. And I'm thankful that there's certain groups that try to go after the forgotten people. And so, and praise the Lord for it. But the question is, do these people go to hell without having an opportunity to be saved? The answer is no. Amen. The answer is no. And I'm going to show you that from Scripture here in just a second. All right. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that's what all missionaries do. Missionaries go out to try to show that light. That's what we ought to do every time we leave the doors of this church and the doors of our home. We ought to show the light of Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. We're talking about the Word again now, which was Jesus Christ, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, again, the question is, do these people that never got a missionary, they never received a Bible in their language, they've never heard the official gospel given, do they die and go to hell? Does God send them to hell? And I believe the answer is no, and we're going to go over this right now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let's turn there really quick, but hold your place in John. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. I'm going to show you several scriptures here that I believe deal with this very thought of how God deals with what we're going to call the heathen. All right? With what, how God deals with the heathen. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. I can quote it, but I don't want to mess it up here. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, it's God's will that every man be saved, not willing that any should perish. I'm thankful for Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Okay, so God's not willing that any should perish. He's a just, righteous God. He's going to give every man and woman and child an opportunity to be saved. Every one of them. Now, I'm not going to get into it in this study, but there are people, and I mentioned this the other day, that never reached the age of accountability. Adam and Eve in the garden, they did not know right. They did not know wrong. They didn't understand those things until they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Once they ate that, they received a conscience, and that conscience told them what was right and wrong. And those people, from that point until God began to give them more revelation, they were judged based off their conscience alone. They had the example of the garden from Adam telling his kids about what happened, and they had their conscience, and that's what they were judged by. That's a light that God puts in every single man. Now listen, there's some kids sometimes, there's people that never reach that age. They don't ever, you know, in their mind or their, you know, they might grow in their body, but their mind, they never get to that age. They never reach that age of accountability. I've met people that are in their 40s and 50s and they've got a mind of a 5-year-old. Amen. And then I met some people that act like it, but they really know better. But there's some people that never reach that age. You say, what happens? They're going to heaven. They've never reached that age of accountability. And you say, why? Why does that happen? I went over a few weeks ago when I was talking to the ladies about accepting yourselves, that sometimes God allows things to happen because he wants to work in a family or because he wants his glory to be shown. And so those individuals, I believe, they're going to heaven. Amen. They never reach that age of accountability. And I've gone over all this before. And just because I'm talking about it, I'll say it again. You say, when do I know when my child reaches that count of age ability? We have the illustration in the garden when they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The very first thing they did was realize they were naked. And every child has an age. And Emma is hitting that age right now. And I've been praying God saves her. Now, Ella got saved at an earlier age than what Emma is right now. But I believe she reached that point sooner. But Emma is just now, she's 6 years old. She'll be 7 next February. I mean, it's here soon. And she's just now getting to that point. Matter of fact, last night I took all the kids home. Sarah was out shopping. And Emma got in the shower and she said, "Daddy, can you please close the door? I'm about to get out of the shower and you don't need to see me naked." Amen. Now to her, she's, you know, she don't want me to see her naked. But to me, you know what I said? Thank you, Lord. Just that little thing right there is telling me that she's starting to get to the age of accountability. And that's why devotions at night, the Sunday school teachers being right with God and, I mean, preaching and trying to do, I mean, all that stuff is important. She's getting to that age of accountability. And so that's how you begin to see those things. Now, she's prayed 100 times for God to save her. And if you ask her right now, she'll tell you, "I'm saved," but she doesn't fully understand. But she's getting to that age where God can start dealing with her heart. And one of these days it's going to click. And so You know, we're going off to this camp meeting and stuff. You never know. It might be next week. You know, God showed me that, hey, she's getting ready, and it might be next week. Who knows? It might be tonight. Who knows? I mean, God knows. That's his timing. But I want her to be where she's supposed to be, so when God deals with her, he can deal with her. All right, so the age of accountability is there. God's not willing that any should perish, and he tells us that in that verse. So based off of that statement, we know that God would not send anyone to hell without giving them an opportunity to be saved. All right, go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Jesus Christ is the subject of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And we know in the book of 3 John, when it deals with the Word, we're talking about Jesus Christ. The three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. All right? So we're dealing with the Word. So this verse number 9, that was the true light, talking about Jesus Christ. John wasn't the light, but Jesus was the light, which lighteth every person that was reached by a missionary. Is that what it says? No, it says, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every single person that was born into the world, no matter when it was, if it was 100 years ago or 200 years ago, they've never been reached by a missionary. That light, God reveals it to them. And I'm going to, as we go through here, we'll show you how he does that. But that's what the verse says, does it not? That the true light, which is Jesus Christ, is a light that's offered to every man that is born into this world. And it doesn't just say the United States or into a country where they speak English or where there's a Bible or where there's a missionary. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. Book of Romans chapter number 1. At the age of accountability, and we keep using that term, but when somebody gets to that age where they know right and wrong, God gives them a conscience. A conscience is something that God gives to each person. That's that light he puts in him. God put that light inside every human being that can lead that person to salvation if they follow it. God designed you. He made you. And because he made you, he knows how you work and he knows what he needs to do to reach you. A person is not born an atheist. Right. Nobody is born an atheist. Right. A lot of these countries, and I'm going to get into this, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but they find something to worship. Because there's something in them that tells them there's a creator that they need to worship. Right. Now, we find it in the Old Testament, and we find it today when these missionaries go in, and we find that they're worshiping a dog or a totem pole or something, because there's something built into every person to say there's a creator, and man in his fallacy, no matter what, where he's from or what country he's a part of, has tried to figure out a way to worship something that's not God. And so we do run into that, but they have the opportunity to be saved. I believe that. The light is put inside of everyone that comes into the world. And if they follow that thing, I believe God will either send them truth, which is where a missionary shows up. Hey, you know, how many times have you heard stories of missionaries that showed up somewhere and they said, man, we were waiting for you. Has anybody ever heard that before? And the missionary's like, man, everybody's getting saved. Why? God prepared them. He prepared their heart. They were already searching for truth, and God sent them a missionary. And that happens often. But there's the people that say, hey, there's something in me that says that there's a God. Amen. And I'm not going to worship a pole, and I'm not going to worship anything else. I believe there's a God. That's that light that's put into every one of them. They have to be convinced by somebody else to worship something different. A person has no access to Bible or missionary can find out that God created everything because that's built into them. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. The Bible said, for the wrath of God, and we're going to be all over Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 here, because this is where it reveals to us how God does this. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath what? Showed it unto them. God himself showed them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the missionary. That's not what it says. And don't get me wrong, I'm not belittling the missionary. God uses the missionary. When they're looking for truth, God will send them somebody. I believe that. I believe God sends somebody in there. You said, what about the ones that died? Man, if they did what we're saying God said to do right here, they're good. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Creation itself, God put into every person this conscience that tells them there is a God that created everything. And when they look up and see creation, it bears witness with that conscience that God put in them. You say, well, how does all this work? God made everybody. He made everything. He can make it work. And he put that into somebody, and he wants them to choose him. And the Bible here says that they're without excuse. And so don't feel sorry too much for that tribe that nobody's ever got to. Amen? They have an opportunity. And if they want truth, I personally believe God will get somebody there with truth. But there's been people that have died in those tribes that never got truth. Amen? And you say, what happened to them? I believe if they follow what the Bible says, then they're okay. All right? So verse 18, we find out that the truth is available to these people inside of them. But you know what the problem is? The problem is human nature.
Right.
Just like the pygmies over in Africa that reject God as the creator and start worshiping a rat, is the same problem that we have sometimes in America, when a pastor gets up and preaches on Sunday morning the truth of God's word, and you go out and do something different anyway. It's the same problem. It's human nature. It's our wicked flesh that decides to go do something different. It's influence from the devil. It's influence from the world. Influence from the flesh. Because these people here in this verse chose to reject it, God's wrath is on them. Verse 19 tells us what God wants people to know about him is already inside of them. Do you see that there in the verse? Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So it's already in there. God put that in there. Verse 20, God reveals himself through his creation, reveals his Godhead. Hold your place here in Romans. Go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. I know in America, it's hard to wrap our mind around this subject because we have churches on every corner. But there are people out there that, I mean, you heard the missionaries say, hey, these people have, as far as we know, they've never been reached. Is God a just God or not? God's not a Calvinist.
Amen.
Amen. Psalms chapter 19, verse number 1. Follow these verses in light of the book of Romans. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Does that not go with what we just read over in Romans chapter 1? Day, verse 2, unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What's the voice? Who's the voice in this passage? The heavens. Right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day and night. Verse 3 said, there's no speech nor languages. There's languages right now that missionaries have never reached. They'll go in and they don't know their dialect. I mean, you could go into a place like Papua New Guinea and there'd be talk pigeons, the main language there. But we went to a village where we had missionaries with us that spoke perfect pigeon. But they had no clue what these people were saying in this one tribe. Why? Because it's a dialect. It's close, but it's not the same thing. But does the Bible here say there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard? God, creation. God gave them a conscience. He gave them creation. And they can hear through that what God's trying to tell them. Verse number 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Now watch this. God teaches them about a bridegroom with the sun and with creation. If you follow the context of Scripture. Verse 5. Which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. This is just creation that's doing all this. So, well, how do they know this unless somebody tells them? A conscience that God gave them tells them all these things. Their conscience says there is a God. When they look up and they see creation and they see his handiwork, they see the firmament, the day and the night, they see all these things. God put something in them that acknowledges that there's a God. And that's what they have to receive. That's what they have to accept. Verse 3 tells us that it's available to every single language and every tongue. I mean, there's nobody not covered in there. Even rednecks and Ebonic people are covered right there. The thunder right now talking. Amen. Verse 5 shows us the heathen. It shows the heathen a bridegroom. Go back with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. We've already read these verses, but verse 20 says all these things about God's creation. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world. That goes right along with Psalms. Are clearly seen. God makes it clear to them. It's evident. Being understood by the things that are made, the things God created, even his eternal power and Godhead. They can see all those things. Their conscience bears witness with it. So they are without excuse. You don't have an excuse. They don't have an excuse. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse number 14. And we're going to be all over this chapter also. And just say, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, the law was given to the Jews. The law was given to the Jews. We see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 2. Just look over one page. Much every way chiefly because unto them, the Jews, in verse number 1, were committed the oracles of God. Acts chapter 7, verse 53 tells us that the Jews were given this law. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature, the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. That just said that if you don't have a law, you don't have a book, that through creation, by nature, you can do the things that are contained in here. Why? Because God gave him a conscience. He gave him creation. He gave him these things. Verse 15, which show the works of the law written in their hearts. This is that conscience thing again, and the word conscience is about to come up here in just a second. Right here. Which show the works of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile excusing them or accusing them or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So this passage is talking about people that have not a law. They don't have a word. But they do by nature the things that are written in there because God wrote it in their hearts. Because he gave them a conscience. And they're going to be judged by how they responded to that. Adam and Eve in the garden were told, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's a negative work. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, they did. They ate of that tree. And that day they ate, they began to die. And so God gave them a conscience at that time because it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So people that were born after that, their kids that were born, they were born with a conscience. Abel's conscience or Cain's conscience was bothering him greatly when he killed his brother. And God came up and said, hey, where's your brother? You can see that when you read the story. His conscience was killing him. Because God gave him a conscience and said, hey, what you did was wrong. What you did was wrong. And he didn't want to admit it. He didn't want to get it right. I believe that God gave him an opportunity to get right. He didn't have to end up cursed and end up like that. But he didn't repent. He didn't get right. He didn't change his mind about what he did. And so these folks here in this passage, we're dealing with those that do not have a written word. They do not have the law, but God wrote it in their heart. He gave them a conscience. And that is what accuses them or excuses them in that day of judgment. All right? Look at verse number 4 of the same chapter. The Bible says, or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. They can get to a point about their life just by God being good. And this is all throughout this whole chapter here dealing with these people. Now, the problem with God being able to reveal himself to a person through their conscience is that person's heart. Just like we talked about their flesh a second ago. Verse number 5. Look at the problem. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness judgment of God. And so these people here in this passage, just like people do today, have a problem with their heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, our heart is desperately wicked. Now, these people here says, because the hardness of, after thy hardness and impenitent heart. That word impenitent means a failure to change mind. Or admitting no change of mind or unrepented. The word repent just means change of mind. That's all it means. It's not a work. It's not something somebody does. It's not something they change as far as their actions. All it means is a change of mind. That's all repent means. I know people today make it mean a whole lot more. And there are people that preach repentance in such a way that you got to quit sinning. You can't quit sinning until you get saved. You can't quit nothing. And if you did do that, and that's what you're trusting in for salvation, you're not saved. Right. Repentance just means a change of mind. And these people here, they harden their heart. And the Bible here says that they were unrepented. That's what that word means. They didn't have a change of mind, admitting no change of mind. They were not going to change their mind about their condition. And there's people that do that every day. We go out soul winning, we'll meet somebody and say, hey, man, you need to get born again. And they think they're okay. They're not willing to say, you know what, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. They're not willing to do that. Verse number 6, the Bible says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Again, we're dealing with the people here, as you go down through here, who do not have a written law, who do not have that truth, just a missionary or somebody there. All right. Verse number 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. See, people seeking for these things. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentiles. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there's no respect of persons. And then it starts right in verse 12, talking about these people that have no law unto themselves, because the law's written in their hearts, and the conscience excuses them or accuses them. So the answer here to the question of, does a heathen have an opportunity to get saved? What do you think the answer is? Amen. Now, I believe that God sends them the truth if they want it, a missionary or somebody. But again, there's people that have died that never got that missionary. And it all depends on what they did. Their answer towards God, not towards man, but their answer towards God with that conscience that God gave them when they saw creation. I personally believe, based off of Scripture, that every single man and woman and child that reached the end of accountability at some point in their life acknowledges there's a God that lights in them, and they have to give an answer for how they responded to that. That's what they have to give an answer for, and that's all laid out right here. All right, what happens if they reject? They go to hell like everybody else does. And that's sad. There's people that are dying and going to hell in Warrior, Alabama. You know people that are dying and going to hell because they refuse to accept truth. Those people over there that have never had a missionary and they've never seen a Bible, if they die and go to hell, it's because they refused the light that was given them. They refused truth. And God's a just God. And it says back in John chapter 1 that He, being the true light, lights every man that comes into the world. He gives them that opportunity. Every tongue, every language, we saw in the book of Psalms. So somebody might say, well, then why do we need a missionary? Has anybody thought that? Like, well, if that's the case, why do we need a missionary? Well, the answer is the vast majority of people in this world, just like most men here, will not listen to their conscience. Do you remember the first time that your conscience told you don't do what you're about to do, and you did it anyway? Well, that heathen over in Africa or wherever did the same thing. But then are you thankful that one day a preacher came by or somebody came by and said, hey, you need to get born again. Amen. I'm thankful that I was born here. I'm thankful that I live here. I'm thankful that my kids are in church and they have a Bible and they can get saved at 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, whatever age they reach accountability. And I'm thankful for all those things. And some of those folks over in those other countries, they don't have that. But God is a just God and He gives them an opportunity. And so why send a missionary? Because they're just like maybe you were before you got saved. You didn't accept the first time. God dealt with your heart. You seared your conscience. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit of God sent somebody your way to come preach to you. Those Chinese folks, God sent Brother Linton over there, and God sent these other missionaries that we talked to this week, and our missionary going to the Middle East. I mean, God is sending him. You say, why is he going there? And he preached a whole message about it Sunday morning on why he's going there. But you know what the truth might be? It might be that there's one man or one woman over there that said, hey, this thing that I got born into is not right. Because there's something in me that tells me that there's a God. There's something in me by creation that tells me there's something wrong with what's going on here. And God said, I'm going to send you truth. He said he's praying for one soul. That might be that one soul he's going over there for. That's why we send the missionary. And verses in Romans chapter 10 that we talked about, we started off with on how shall they hear without a preacher and how shall they preach unless they're sent. That's why we send them. That's why we go door to door. That's why we knock on doors. That's why we soul win. Because we might be that one that's sent by there. And I've seen people get saved. And I'm sure you have too, Brother Jim, and these other men that have been soul winning, Brother Stephen, and where you go up and they were ripe for the picking. It's like, I didn't even have to do anything. I said, hey, we're from the church. I'm ready to get saved. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. You say, what happened? God had already been dealing with their heart. And he sent somebody by. Amen. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but a while back, somebody didn't go soul winning that was supposed to. And they said, how did it go today? And I said, oh, everybody got saved except for that one door you were supposed to knock on. Amen. I was joking, but hey, what if that was true? What if the service, and I know I'm the pastor, so it's hard to give this illustration because you're like, well, you're the pastor, you got to be here anyway. But what if that day that Emma, what God was going to deal with Emma for her to get saved and I decided not to come to church? That's why thinking through all, I mean, we have a great responsibility. And how many kids today are dying and going to hell and God wants to deal with them, but their parents got mad or they got them out of church or whatever the case might be. And that's why it's important to be in a church that preaches truth. More than being entertained. More than being a big crowd. Where the truth of God, because the truth is what's going to make you free. Amen. So that's why in this whole entire study that I did on here, I want to make this last comment. This whole study that we just did this evening disproves Calvinism. Amen. How is God going to send light to every man, but he wanted them to go to hell and others to be saved? And if you don't know what that is, they believe that God wills some people to be saved and wills some people to be lost. And if he chose you to be lost, you don't have a choice. But all these verses we just looked at is God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God going to the heathen, going to these other countries where no missionaries have ever been and trying to give somebody light because he's not willing that any should perish. The verse over in the book of Matthew that tells us about hell, the Bible said it was created for the devil and his angels. That's who it was made for. It was never made for you. It was never made for any of those people. Anybody in the world, it wasn't made for them. He never intended for people. He didn't want people to go there. Not willing that any should perish. And he gave them a light and he gave them a conscience to choose him. Is everybody confused or does that make sense? All right, let's all stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord laid on my heart, thought it would be fitting as a ended up the missions conference, talking about those people. And we still send missionaries, and even more so, we ought to send missionaries. We ought to be a part of the Faith Promise Missions. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. We hope it was a blessing. White Oak Independent Baptist Church is located at 251 White Oak Trail, Warrior, Alabama, 35180, and on the web at www.whiteoakibc.com. We can also be reached via phone at 205-647-2411. Again, that number is 205-647-2411. Thank you again, and God bless.